word of the Lord. We have a conference coming up that's going to be tremendously powerful. It will be a life-changing event. And, I mean, of course, if you miss it, then your life isn't changed. You have to be there to experience a life-changing event. And I really believe that we have the agenda is from the Lord. We've sought the Lord, and the people that are coming, it wasn't like we said, well, we promise you a bunch of money, or we promise you this, we promise you that. We promise that we're ready to receive miracles from anyone that's coming with the word of the Lord. Amen. And we're going to, so that's going to be on the 17th of November. So that's a Thursday night, and it's going to go Friday night at 5 o'clock or 5:30 until whenever. Saturday morning, we're all going to get together, men up at my place. If you know where my place is, it's right across from the Eagles. If you don't know where the Eagle is, look for the Eagle in the yard. There's an Eagle out just on 3rd Street, right alongside the river. I live right there, so we're having a men's meeting there, and the women are having a women's meeting here Saturday morning, and then we're going to go into Saturday night. We're having we're going to have a move of God. We're going to hear from God like we've never heard. Maybe I don't know what'll happen. You know, the greatest thing that could happen is we'd all be taken up and living with Jesus in heaven. What happened to that bunch? Oh, they all went to heaven. But I'm expecting what Paul said, that he went into the third heaven, and he's seen things, heard things that were unspeakable, and I really believe that that's the time that we're living in. Amen. And so we're going to also have an ordination service that we're ordaining two ministers in United Team International, and one of them is going to be speaking today. And he's going to be a representation of God throughout the earth. But we feel like we're really privileged. And then we have another brother that's getting ordained from Bedette area. And I would just like to introduce my good friend and a man of God. Webster, would you come? Let's give him a hand today. We believe that God's going to use him mightily in these days ahead. Appreciate you, brother.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Love you, man.
Amen. In Jesus' mighty name, I want you all to stand this moment in the presence of God. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, in Jesus' name. Yes, yes. I want you all this moment to begin to pray, asking God for his divine intervention this moment in your life. Begin to pray wherever you are. Begin to pray. Lord, we say thank you for your divine intervention in our lives. We pray for your power. We pray for your grace. We pray to God for your understanding this moment. You are worthy to be praised, O God. Because of who you are, I gave you glory. Because of who you are, I gave you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and sing, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Because of who you are, I gave you glory. If you notice, some begin to sing. Because of who you are, I gave you praise.
because of who you are. I will lift my voice and sing, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. And I worship you because of who you are. Lord, we say thank you this moment. We worship you. We invoke your presence. Lord, we say take the microphone this morning as we minister your word. We pray for power. We pray to God for insight. We pray for revelation. Lord, we say thank you this moment in Jesus' mighty name. Before you can take your seat this moment, I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Psalm chapter 24, verse 7. And another group of people, you can turn to 1 Timothy 2, verse 20. Psalm 24, verse 7. I read. Let your heads be lifted up, O those. Be lifted up, O ye. Enter, O you eternal doors, that the King of glory may come. We go to 1 Timothy 2, verse 20. 1 Timothy 2, 20. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. Excuse me. 2 Timothy 2, 20. 2 Timothy 2, verse 20. Are you there? Now in a great house, there are not vessels of gold and silver, but others of wood and earth, and some which are honor and some without honor. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. We will be talking this morning briefly on what I talked to, possessing your gate and entering into your doors. In Jesus' name. This morning, I want to use this privilege to recognize the leadership of this house. I want you to put your hands together for Pastor Jake this morning. The father and the pop out of this house. And also recognize the presence of our mother, Mother Sandra. Put your hands together for our mother also. Amen. In order for you to go further in life, you should father. In order for you to go forward, you should be able to father. They are parents of this house. So we must give them the courtesy as we continue to speak the word of God. Amen? Amen? And this morning, I want to recognize the presence of my own aunt, Mrs. Doris Kofa. Put your hands together. I really appreciate her a lot. Although at times we try to fall, she will bring us up with her hands. Because she wants to see the good out of us. Amen? In Jesus' mighty name. In order to enter a house, in order to have access or ease of access to a particular building, you should have relationship with someone that owns that particular premises. Am I talking to somebody? In order for you, because there are two major things I want you to understand this moment. There are relationships, and there is something about knowing somebody. Relationship is greater than just knowing a person. Am I speaking to somebody? Because if you have relationship, like for instance, you are coming into this building, and Pastor Jake is the senior pastor of this house, and you want to have ease of access to this house, you must have the level of relationship with Pastor Jake. The level of relationship that will cause you to enter every part of this house and not just only. Not just only in the hallway or just only at a particular place of the house, but to enter every portion of the house. Listen, we all are born again. But I want you to grab this. We all are born again. But there are different levels among us. Am I talking to somebody? There are different levels among us. As I said, there are other doors here that you cannot enter without the permission given you by the father of this house. So in order for you as a person to be permitted to enter that door or enter other portion of that house, you should create a kind of relationship. Tell somebody, say relationship. Tell somebody, say relationship. Relationship is too vital. That's the reason we read from 2 Timothy 2:20. There are vessels of honor in the house of God and a vessel of dishonor. Now, classify yourself. Look at yourself. Who am I in the presence of God? Who am I in this house? That's the reason you won't just get up, enter into someone's premises or enter into someone's house and decide to just walk all over. You must have permission. There should be permission given you. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? Am I speaking to somebody this morning? I think God is not partial. He's not a partial God. But at times, he behaves partial. What do I mean? He said, in his own word, he said, I love everybody. And sometimes, he says, I choose who to love, and I choose who to hate. Excuse me. This thing just keeps dropping up. I think I used to. Yeah.
My ears.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, I choose who to love, and I choose who to hate. I choose who to bless, and I choose who to curse. That's God. He said in Isaiah, he said, my ways are not your ways, neither my thoughts are your thoughts. He said, as the heaven is as high, so are my ways. No man understand the word of God. That's the reason you cannot formulate or you cannot give a formula on how God operates. Never. You can never. Because there are people that only know that this is the way God wants us to do things. This is the way God wants us to go. That's the reason at times when people bring a suggestion, other people object to them. Because they feel their own understanding is what everyone should battle. It's not possible. As the heaven is as high, so are my ways. As the heaven is as high. So no man understand the word of God. Gates in this situation stands for general. Tell somebody, say general. Gates stand for general. Because there are levels. Many people are standing before their gate. They don't have ease of access to their gate. But after this moment, after this service, I see you entering your gates in the name of Jesus. I see you entering your gates in the name of Jesus. I don't know what that gate is. The man at the pool of Bethesda in St. John chapter 5, verse 2. The scripture says he was at the pool. He was at the pool for many years, waiting for someone to put him into the pool. The man, he stayed at the pool for many years, waiting for someone to push him into that pool. He was at his gate, but was not able to get solution or was not able to get healing from his condition. He was at his gate. From that passage, I begin to think, I say, what is it? What was really going on in the life of this man? What was really going on? Because if he was close to the pool, why he couldn't drag himself and fall into that pool? But he was still waiting for someone. He was still waiting for someone. I don't know where you are right now. I don't know what gate you are standing before. I don't know the level of challenges you have. But listen, if you can understand this moment, if you can understand what we're about to enter into, listen, you will push that gate and pursue whatever you should be holding to in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Those who sit at your gate, control your gate and determine your fate or destiny. Those who sit at your gate controls your fate and also determine your destiny. So, it brings us to the point that if you are quiet or you keep very mute to sounding your own trumpet to achieve your goals, to pursue destiny, to hold fast to what you should be holding to, the enemy will keep walking over you, and it shall not be your portion in the name of Jesus. I say it shall not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Those who sit at your gates of decision determines who goes in and who comes out. There are decisions you need to take. Listen, people advise, people acknowledge you, but it takes you as an individual to get into action. It takes you as a person to say, it is over. I think I need to take a bold step into what I'm doing. I need to take a kind of step into what will bring changes in my life. I need to move on. I need to cross over. I need to live from the dungeon I found myself. And listen, if you don't come to that point and understand that this is my position, the enemy will keep holding you back and it shall not be your portion. I say it shall not be your portion. It shall not be your portion. There are general blessings in the house of God. There are general blessings. There are general blessings. As long as you become born again, that blessing flashes on you because it is the plan, it is the thought of God. He said, the thought that I have towards you, they are good and not evil, to give you an expected end. Jeremiah 29. He said, the thought that are things towards you, they are not evil, but to give you an expected end. Listen, God's thought for you is to succeed. That's why in St. John 10, the scripture says the enemy came to what? Steal, kill, and to destroy. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the reason he don't want to see good come out of you. There are other blessings. Less specific blessings. Additional blessings. Extraordinary blessings. Transgenerational blessings. These are blessings that you should earn. You should work hard for. you should be able to step into your gates and possess. If you cannot step into your gate and possess these blessings, listen, I talk about transgenerational blessings. There are some generation, there are pattern in generation that have wealth. But if you look at those that are standing previously, they have not accumulated anything in life yet. And the blessings are there. What are you waiting for? Ask somebody, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? You need to inherit that blessings. It is your portion. You need to capture that blessing. It is your portion. And if you understand that, yes, it is my portion to achieve this kind of blessings, you will do strange things. You will begin to do strange things. Let me open you up to a particular scripture again in Acts 16. Let's turn to Acts 16. In Acts 16, I want you to see something very fast. Another scripture that Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Are you there? Acts chapter 12, reading from verse 1 to 17, but there are few of them we'll take key note from, like from 4. And having taken him, he put him in prison with 4 bands of army men to keep watch over him. Speaking of Peter. His purpose being to take him out to the people after the Passover. And let's go down to 17. But he made a sign to them with his hand to be quiet and gave them an account of how the Lord has taken him out of prison. You can go back and read this entire passage. Peter, as a servant of God, was placed into prisons. I told you, it takes decision. The church said, this man is a man of God. We cannot sit back and see what is about to happen. Waiting to disgrace, because after they have killed other man of God, they wanted to slaughter Peter in this time around. But the church said, no, we will not sit and see this happen. So we must go into our closets. They entered the prayer room and began to pray. I believe there are people that were joking. There are people that were playing, but others were very serious. And results came. Because as they were praying, the chains were broken off the gate. And he came out. The chains were broken. And he came out. And listen, he went and begin to knock. They thought it was an angel. But when they opened up, they saw the man of God. He was loose out of the prison. He entered into his destiny. He left the cell. I see many of you entering your destiny in the name of Jesus. I see many of you entering your destiny in the name of Jesus. Destiny has to do with your own. With your own forcefulness at times, you don't have to sit back. It is your value in the house of God that determines your benefits. Listen, you have entered the premises. You are serving God. Your value in this house determines your benefits. Every 1 year we have a job, we are working, we with different entities, and there are also different benefits. Am I speaking to somebody? Based upon your company value, how your company value you is how they attach benefits to you. Based on how the company value you is how they add what? Benefits to you. Everyone don't have the same kind of benefits. Everyone, we don't have the same level of benefits as you work. So, in the house of God, everyone in this house don't have the same benefits. There are different benefits among us. I told you. He said, I choose who to bless and I choose who to curse. It's God speaking. So we all are not equal. Understand this. We all are not equal. There are different benefits among us. That's why we as Christians, there are few things you should understand in order to achieve those benefits. Your commitment, your compassion, and your sensitivity to God should change as of today. Your commitment, your sensitivity, and your compassion are those three major factors that when you understand, you will know that you are quite different from the person sitting beside you. Are you ready to go further? Are you ready to go further? There are people that are committed in the house of God. They are committed paying their tithes, their offerings. They are committed to that. It is not possible you go down. God himself is always there. I listened to the testimony of our mother this morning. It challenged me. Because she said she was in debt and was believing. And not just believing, but she was doing the word of God. She was doing the word of God. And how would such a person not overcome debts? Her commitment was speaking for her. Her commitment was speaking for her. Her compassion is why God sought. And her level of sensitivity to the court of God puts her across that depths. I see you cross your own depths in the name of Jesus. I said, I see you cross your own depths in the name of Jesus. We are all different in terms of benefits. Relationship, as I said, relationship is better. Relationship take you places. It take you places than even money. Money can never buy. Because whenever you understand your level of relationship with a particular person, like for instance, you understand your relationship with God and know what to do to provoke God to act on behalf of you, and you know how to convince God to move in your direction, you understand that you are quite different from the next person beside you. You take it or you leave it. Once you know how to position God, listen, David was not so righteous. He had errors in his life, but he knew how to pull God. He knew how to provoke God to move. And that's the reason. That's the reason God said this guy is the man after my heart. If you can move God, your level will be different. If you can move God, if you can move God from where he's sitting, at times, many at times we stand to worship, many at times we stand to declare, thus says the Lord. There are messages we stand to preach that move God from his throne. There are things we try to do that move God. How will God not move if you are into his direction? Ask yourself. After this moment, I see your life transform in the name of Jesus. I see your life transform in the name of Jesus. In Matthew 25, verse 1 to 11, the Bible speaks of the virgins. The Bible speaks of the virgins who had their lamps. Listen, in order for you to penetrate your doors, in order for you to possess your gates and enter into your doors, you should have extra oil. Tell somebody, extra oil. This gone time, last Sunday, I love the word that Pastor Jake used. He said, in order for the car transmission to be able to, in order for the transmission of a car to liquidate or to be able to move to another mile or mileage, you should what? Change your oil. If you don't have an oil change, it is not possible for the life of that car to be long. It is not possible. Every believer, every Christian will have extra oil in order to possess your gates and enter into a new door. Few of the virgins chose not to have extra oil. When the bridegroom came, it was late for them. They went begging because they were foolish enough. They went begging those that have oil. They said, no, we cannot give it our oil. Because what we have, I think, is enough for us. It's enough for us. And you won't believe it. When they went to gather oil, when they came by, the door was shut before them. Your door shall not be shut before you in the name of Jesus. Because when time arises wherein you should be able to stand, is when you need to release your extra oil to function. It determines your unction to function at that moment. It determines your unctions to function. Am I talking to somebody? It determines your unction to function. Because within that point of time, you need that oil. You need that extra grace to be launched into your destiny. You need that extra grace to pursue your goals. You need that extra grace to enter into what you have been believing God for. But at that time, you don't have oil. It's a bad thing. Every believer must have extra oil to possess their possessions in the name of Jesus. That's what Proverbs 18 says, a gift make a room for man. For a man, and bring him before our kings and queens. You should be ready. You should be ready in the name of Jesus. Lastly, I want us to talk on a particular scripture that has three major things that we'll be looking at after this particular service that you will go home and remember in your life. And as you apply those keys, your life will change. You can take it or you leave it. If you can apply those keys, your life will change for good. It's in Luke chapter 11, verse 5 to 9. Luke 11, verse 5 to 9. I want you to go there quickly as we read. Luke 11, verse 5 to 9. Amen. Are you there? Verse 5 to 9. And he said to them, which of you having a friend who go to him in the middle of the night and say to him, friend, let me have 3 cakes of bread, because a friend of mine has come to me on a journey, and I have nothing to put before him. And he, from inside the house, will say to answer, do not be a trouble to me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. It is not possible for me to get up and give you. It is not possible for me to get up and give you. Verse 8. I say to you, though he will not get up and give to him, because he is his friend still. If he keeps on making his request, he will get up and give him as much as he has need of. Verse 9. And I say to you, make request, and there will be answer. What you are searching for, you will get. What you gave, when you gave the sign, the door will be open to you. This passage speaks of three major things. It speaks of a three-dimensional prayers that every believer should have attached to them. The place of asking has to do with relationship and level of revelation you are walking in. The place of asking. Many of times you see it in this particular passage. Which kind of friend is that? Not requesting for himself, but he left his house, going to another friend's house, requesting to buy or to get a piece of bread to bring back for someone else. Who are you? Who have you ever sacrificed for like that? This guy went sacrificing himself in the middle of the night to see to it that his friend is fed. To see to it that his friend received meal. The place of asking. He went asking. And listen, it has to do with relationship. If you don't have a level of relationship, you cannot go asking beyond certain levels. You cannot go asking. You cannot go pulling beyond certain levels. It takes your level of relationship between you and that person. Because he knew, he said, this God is my friend. It's late, although right now it's late, but I will still go to him with persistency. Other translations say, with persistency. With persistency. He kept asking. And the God said, it's not just because I want to give you this, but also you're my friend. We have a relationship. And because of your persistency, I will have to come outside and give you this bread. And I will even give you more. And the second thing here is that seeking has to do with what? Extra efforts and delegation, diligence, and going beyond, not just petition prayer. Going beyond, it's not just petition prayer, but you should go beyond. Because the level, as I said, your level has to do with extra efforts and diligence. How many efforts are you putting in? What is the effort you are putting in to convince God to act on behalf of you? To convince God to move you beyond that door? What are the efforts you are putting? What is the diligence that God is seeing in you? What is the diligence that God is seeing in you to move you beyond the level you are? You come to church today, 3 Sundays pass before you come to church. Today you are visiting church. Maybe 1 month after before we see you back in church. There is no diligence. There is no commitment. But when you are ready, you are going through issues you want for God to act instantly. It is not like that. Your level of persistency, your level of diligence is what it was move God. When you seek him, you will find. When you seek him, you will find. But if you are not diligent before God, listen, he will take his own time. That's why some Christians say, back home in Africa, they will always say, God is slow, but he's sure. It's not that God is slow, but it's because you don't have a level of diligence to move him to act instantly. That's the reason. Am I speaking to somebody? Aggressive intercession. All has to do with relationship. If you are aggressive and you know who God is, you have a personal relationship with God. Listen, you can be aggressive even against your enemies. You can be aggressive even against that situation, because you know when you speak to that condition, I don't care what that situation is, it will wake up and move. But if you don't have a kind of, if you don't have the kind of connection and relationship with God, it's just for nothing. So as of today, lastly, you should understand. You should understand in totality. You should understand that it takes my aggression, how aggressive I am against my enemy, and the level of relationship that I have with God, with this God, can move me into my destiny. And you begin to apply these keys. Don't be like the man seated at the pool of Bethesda, knowing that he had the opportunity right there, but he never make a move. Like the guys at the gate of Beautiful, they another situation again. Those guys, that guy was there sitting for years. He was just begging. At the gate of Beautiful, where men and women were going into receiving blessings, praying, fasting. And then he was still at the gate begging. How possible is that? Many of us are sitting before things that can launch us into destiny, but yet we have not opened our eyes to see them. As of today, Lord, begin to pray, God, open my eyes. Stand on your feet. Begin to pray. Say, God, open my eyes. Begin to pray, God, open my eyes. Begin to pray, God, open my eyes. Those things that you are seated before, let God open your eyes and explore you in your destiny. Let God begin to explore you. Let God begin to explore you. Let those things not be hidden in the name of Jesus. Let those things not be hidden by the blood of Jesus. Amen, 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 amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the thought of what we're hearing here is that God is a God of activating. He activates his body, and his body becomes actively doing something. And, of course, with this thought, we need to actively do something with it, because we're not, sometimes we think, well, you know, it's the pastor or it's the elders or something. That's not too much to do with it.